The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Ross Brierley to look ahead to the best of the action on Tuesday. Also going to have a look back at the best of the weekend's action in the Monday Jury, which we've stolen from the Racing Post, but don't tell them. We'll just have a look back. A good weekend's action in pretty appalling ground, but some nice winners and some certain festival clues. Hello, Ross Brierley.
Hello, Alex Dunn.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah?
Yeah, just sort of plodding away.
Yeah? How was your weekend?
It was all right.
Yeah?
I was in William Hill Towers for all of it.
All right, okay.
But there are worse places to be, I'll
there
tell you.
There are.
And there was a lot of good sporting action on.
There was an incredible amount of good sporting action.
Equine and football.
And humine.
Yes. the racing in particular was... I was really looking forward to Saturday. I always liked that sort of... That newbie meeting, and I thought that the ground would have a bigger effect, if you like, than it did.
Oh, I don't know, it had a pretty big effect, didn't it?
I'm not doubting the effect it had on the sort of horses, if you will.
Right.
But I thought the Betfair hurdle would be reduced to sort of... I didn't think we'd have the finish that we did, if you like.
Oh, right, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I was expecting it to be sort of all strung out across the track, and I was pleased that there were you got that spectacle of six or seven runners having a chance.
Right, okay.
Coming down to two out or the last.
Okay.
Although, right. I can see what you're saying in that it did clearly have an effect on some of the more fancied runners.
Yeah.
Which wasn't maybe ideal for some people, particularly if...
But it's still a run. It's still, you know... Getting any run under a horse's belt at the moment is a bonus. So
we're talking to Stephen Powell on, I think it was Thursday, ahead of Rock on Ruby's run at Doncaster, and he was saying that the fact that Harry Fry was suggesting that they may not run if there was too much rain, he said surely the horse just needs a run.
Yeah,
he's not going to have a hard race in a two-runner race.
No, it's Doncaster, Newbury's a bit different because it's a pretty galloping track to begin with anyway, isn't it? They don't drain it that well. But just getting a run in at any point at the moment is a bonus because you might not get another opportunity.
Yep, very true. Okay, we'll crack on with the questions from the Monday Jury. First up, what is your verdict on the Game Spirit and Denman Chases?
What is my verdict?
I don't think that's a fantastically worded question, to be honest, Racing Post.
No.
But as we're stealing your feature...
Yeah, it can't be too harsh.
I won't be too critical. We'll start with Module then. Game Spirit. And...
Well, yeah, I suppose my verdict would be that Module beat a few relatively okay horses in ground that he loves.
Mm-hmm.
And that I thought the second was the better horse in the race, but Module is now 3 from 3 on heavy ground, whereas Dodging Bullets is a flatbred individual who doesn't really handle the heavy anywhere near as well as his rivals at this time of year. I think Dodging Bullets has a reasonable chance in the Arkle. The more I see him, the more I come round to his chances in a way. He's getting more experience. He's had 4 runs over fences and he's won 3 of them. And as I said, in ground that he didn't particularly like, he still put up a fight. He only got beat half a length in the end. So
you put it down to the fact that he's flatbred and didn't appreciate the ground rather than
he would have hated
it. Issue.
No, I think he would have absolutely hated it. He would have absolutely hated every minute of it. I think he just got out battled by a horse who just relishes those conditions. As I said, he'd already won.
Hmm.
He'd won... his previous 2 starts on heavy ground already, so he's just a grinder Module.
Mm.
He's a talented grinder, admittedly.
Oh yeah.
And the Denman Chase is an odd one, really, because I actually thought Alfa Roth, after his run in the King George, I thought he was the one horse in the Gold Cup field who could still potentially have a significant amount of improvement in him. Mm. And again, I mean, he got beaten too far, really, for them to probably actively consider the Gold Cup. I think he's a great bet for this year's King George.
Okay.
I think that'll be perfect for him. Again, he clearly doesn't want that ground, and he doesn't want necessarily the 3 1/4 mile test that the Gold Cup's going to give him. But I think with more experience, the King George will be in his favour. Harry Topper's just, again, he's just a soft ground slogger, but a really, really talented one. I mean, he beat Beneficent in soft ground at Newbury last year. He's 2 from 2 at Newbury in testing conditions. He's an odd horse because never at any point does he ever look to be going particularly comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he just keeps going and going and going. And he's one of those horses that fits into quite a rare. There's not many horses like Harry Topper. So when you get horses, you get races like the Denman Chase, whereby they are open for something to really exploit the conditions, he can pick up 3 or 4 decent races. So I think the game spirit might have an impact on the Arkle, because I think Dodging Bullets actually has a better chance than I thought he had to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the Denman Chase will have a great deal of impact on much. And I don't really know what they're going to do with Alfa Roth. That's the problem, I suppose.
Do you think it's more of a case of does just about get the trip, but just not on that ground in those circumstances?
Yeah, I think he doesn't have I don't think there's any problem with the trip necessarily.
It's purely ground-based.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
If it's 3 miles around Cheltenham on good spring ground, mm-hmm. then it's fine. But the Gold Cup isn't 3 miles on good spring ground, so they probably will go for the Ryanair, I would have thought, especially with Sylvia Narco-Conti having such a good chance in the Gold Cup.
Yeah, true. Okay, then next question: did the Betfair Hurdle contain a Cheltenham Festival winner? Of course, Splash of Ginge coming out on top in that one. But as I said, it was a race that beforehand was very open. You could run it again. Splash of Ginge probably wouldn't be winning. What do you think?
I don't know, ask me in 6 weeks, I'll tell you.
I think there's every chance, though, isn't there? I mean,
yeah, well, if I was to take anything out of it, it'd be Del Arca, I think, who has course form at Cheltenham. Of course, he won the Great Wood back in November. And again, I don't think he handles soft ground. He handles soft ground in France, and he has, I mean, you know, he ran a cracker at Newbury the other day, but he did look significantly more comfortable on the good ground in the Great Wood. And I think he'll have an excellent chance in handicap company if he does go for the county hurdle. They might be, I don't know, they might be tempted to step him up for some other handicap, the Coral Cup or something, but I don't know. Or he's entered in the Supreme Novices, I don't think he's going to have much of a chance with that. He's 25-1 for that, which is reasonable. It could do, but analysing festival handicaps now is impossible. Generally impossible. It's not hard, it is impossible.
Yeah.
And there's no point doing it.
No.
You might as well, until you, 3 or 4 days in advance, it's hard enough. It's hard enough on the day. You know everything that's going to turn up. You know what the ground's like. There's still 20 runners. So, yeah, but it would be Del Arca, if anything, I think. But
yeah,
it's not an opinion I am keen to develop yet.
Okay, fine. Next up, does Alan King have a Festival Novice Chase winner in Smad Place or Balder Success?
No.
Really?
I don't think so, no. I don't think so.
Why would that be?
They've got plenty of experience. They just don't seem to have experience in the right races.
Mm.
Especially Smad Place. I mean, the RSA is it's just such a horrible race, but an amazing race in a way. I mean, I love it, but it's a novice's Gold Cup, so it exploits any chinks in your armour whatsoever. There's no getting away with anything. If you don't jump well enough, you'll lose. If you don't stay, you'll lose. If you're not experienced enough, you'll lose. If you're not classy enough, you'll lose. There's no nicking it.
Hmm.
It's impossible. I know there's no nicking any of the Cheltenham races, but and Smad Place, he's had 3 runs over fences. He's won 2 of them, and he's run them pretty well. But they're still novice chasers. They're still not graded chasers. He's still not being tested at the top level. And that's where the worry comes in, really. I mean, he did win a decent handicap at Ascot over hurdles back in 2012. But apart from that, he's never won a graded race. Grade 3, 2, 1, whatever. I just don't think he's good enough. I just he's never shown to be good enough. I don't see why he would be. He beat Sam Winner, who's had a funny career, and he beat Mendip Express. He was coming up from handicaps.
I did think Spad Place did the job well enough at Newbury, and was actually pretty good value to do so in the end.
Yeah,
you know, but
he's just not good enough to win an RSA.
The betting for the RSA, we've got Ballycasey 11-2 off the back of his win yesterday. Corin Wood, Morning Assembly, and Smad Place at 8s. Carlingford Lock at 10s.
Well, you've got
12s or bigger the rest.
You've got three Irish horses who've won grade ones. Mm. You've got three grade one winning Irish horses, and then you've got Smad Place.
Mm-hmm. No, fair.
There's no contest for me. There's absolutely no contest. Boulder Success. I quite like Boulder Success. I like the way he jumps. I think he jumps really well. You know, he was a bit disappointed at Sandown, but that was when Alan King's horses were completely wrong. So you can take that out. If you take that out, he's got three wins and a fall, and a very unlucky fall at Cheltenham.
Mm.
So I think he'd have a little bit of a squeak because he's been proven in graded races as well. The fact that he occasionally makes shuddering errors, or he jumps. He's one of those horses that jumps really well until he doesn't. He doesn't have a...
And then he forgets completely. Yeah. He's a confident horse.
Well, like this horse called of David Pipe's called Edmund Keane. No, it wasn't Edmund Keane. Yeah, no, it was on the same day. There's two horses. Edmund Keane and Bywise, for example, won at Ludlow the other day. I know it's Ludlow, but they had things where they were brushed through the top of the fence, but they never really stopped them. Whereas Boulder Success never touches a twig until he just completely locks it up.
Yeah.
And then he goes.
It would be the Arkle, though, wouldn't it, for Boulder Success?
Yes, it would. But I just don't think he's quite good enough, but he will... He should run a good race.
Also,
but I think he's got more chance than Smad Place, despite the fact that he's double the odds for his particular race.
Okay. But, of course, the Kings do have Valdez in
they
that
do,
race,
which I think would have more of a chance.
Would be the first choice, you'd imagine. So maybe Aintree for Boulder Success.
Or the Grand Annual, if he's depending on handicap marks and whatnot. Because he, to me, as I said, that good jumping should seem in good stead. Although, I don't think either of them will win anything at the festival.
Next up, how many of Guitar Pete, Votor and Ballycasey are on your festival team sheet?
Oh, well, Guitar Pete in particular. I think Guitar Pete's a... What is he? What is he now? What's he still for the Triumph? If he's still...
Give me a moment.
I'm pretty sure he's still double figures. I think that's incredible.
For the Triumph Hurdle, Guitar Pete 10-1.
Oh, just what a price. Seriously, a price. He won that race at the weekend 4 seconds quicker than Al Connor did last year.
Really?
Last year was supposed to be soft. This year's heavy. Now, again, in terms of relative times, I'd have to go back and actually check the proper speed figure. But in terms of the actual time, it was a proper performance. They went a right old clip, or Gilgo Bay went hell for leather, which is a perfect setup for what's going to happen
at Cheltenham.
Yes, he's been beaten at Cheltenham, but he's been to Cheltenham. Mm. He's been to Cheltenham. He got beat by Royal Irish SR, who will reoppose and will surely have another chance of beating him.
20-1 Royal Irish SR as well, which might be.
Yeah.
But last year, Andy Holding in particular was talking for months about
Al Connor. Yeah.
Al Connor, and was fully justified in the end. So Gatapi at 10s might
be. I just think he's just incredible because it's a race. It's another great race to bet him because there's only ever three or four horses who genuinely truly have the class to win it, I think. Mm. And he's shown it time and time again. I mean, he never won on the flat, but somehow he's turned into this incredible hurdler. Mm. He's won four. He's finished second on his other two. He's not run a single bad race at all.
And if he continues in that vein, then there's every chance he could run another big one. We've got La Rochère 7-1, Calypto at 8s, Guitar Pete 10s, Broughton, Yvonne Grosny, Plinth at 14s. Now, I mean, of those, he's already beaten two of them.
He's beaten Plinth and Yvonne Grosny. Yeah, admittedly, he was in a better position than both of those.
Yeah, true. But the way that he did it is, you know, it gave the impression that regardless of where they were...
Yeah, and again, just that experience of being a strong... He relished a strong pace, whereas Yvonne Grosny, he made a terrible error, which he dragged his feet through the second last, and Plinth was completely outpaced and stayed on.
Yeah.
So those two were taken off their feet because of the pace. Guitar Pete said, yeah, that's exactly what I'm after.
Mm.
So yeah, I think he's a great price. Votor, I don't really know. I mean, I was impressed. And he's another one of these Mullins horses who can do no wrong over hurdles. But he did get the run of the race, and I thought it was a great ride by Ruby Walsh.
Yeah, it really was, wasn't it?
He dictated matters to the T.
The thing is, with those rides, you don't know how much is the horse and how much is the jockey. Obviously, the horse has to have some ability, granted. But I mean,
in theory, it's a funny one because, for example, Vautour and Ballycasey both made all in their events, and I was saying before the races that tactically, Ruby Walsh does seem like the kind of jockey who would do that. Especially in the, especially with Ballycasey, but also Vautour, in the sense that, I mean, the Tullow Tank is a horse who's very strong at the finish of his races. So you don't give him an opportunity to power past you.
You draw it out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to be gone. You need to
it's
be away and gone
clever,
by then.
Clever race riding, isn't it?
Yeah, and he did it beautifully well. And, I mean, the same thing won't happen at Cheltenham, but you don't want to be too far away at Cheltenham. I mean, Champagne Fever had a very similar, was given a very similar ride last year in the Supreme. He's a really nice horse, and he's 3 from 3 over hurdles over here, and he's another Rich Richie. He must go to bed dreaming of grade one when he's like, how many are we going to get this year?
9-2 for the Supreme.
Yeah, which is understandable.
Yeah.
Ballycasey, that race is an odd one. I think it was a good race. I've backed Carlingford Lock for the RSA, and I'm still happy with that.
Do you think it would have won if it hadn't fallen?
I don't know. That's the thing. However, but all it was 2 miles 5 furlongs in heavy ground. Carlingford Lock is a thorough stayer. He's another one who does his best races at the end of races.
Yeah.
And I thought, as long as he's there over the last, it doesn't matter what happens. Mm-hmm. Granted, I would have preferred him not to unseat his jockey.
Yeah.
But the reason he was unseated is because Don Cossack drifted to his left, jumped to his left. And I could see, coming up to the final fence, I could see it. I'm going, oh, Mark, he's going to get hampered here.
Yeah.
And it was a soft unseat because Tony, yeah, in the sense that he just had no choice.
No.
It was one of those ones where he's just like, look, I'm falling. I'm gone. There's
but
nothing
in,
I can do.
In terms of the fact that you've already backed the horse for Cheltenham, confidence won't be dented by that in the slightest.
No, but I always like to see a horse complete regardless. But it was the softest unseat ever. Nothing against Tony McCoy, but it was one of those ones where he had no choice.
He bounced out, didn't he? He didn't really.
He still had hold of the reins. He stopped the horse. Yeah. He was fine.
Yeah.
And Brian Cooper got 6 days for careless riding for letting Don Cossack drift. Whereas Ballycasey was away from all that.
Yeah. See, I don't think Ballycasey finished with the flourish I was expecting, perhaps. I haven't jumped the last. He didn't forge clear, which isn't to say that he won't.
But and the other two were getting in each other's way anyway, so he kind of had his own.
You know what I mean? It was just sort of a.
And he's still inexperienced. He still only had two runs over fences. He still only had 3 runs over hurdles.
Hmm.
And again, for the RSA, it's very much a race where the tough cookies come through.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, again, one of the massive stats, and again, I don't like to follow trends too much in races, unless there's what I like is the longer distance ones, and they're not trends necessarily, but it is. The trend is you need experience. You need to be tough to win these races.
I love trends.
Well, no, I like them in a sense, but people take them too literally.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, you take it incredibly literally.
Yeah, but that sometimes works.
Yeah, it does,
If I'm, say, putting a place pot on the day,
yeah, of course,
I'll
yeah.
just go through every single one that fits any trend. You know, and I'll put ridiculous amount of lines on and hope.
No, I agree, and I see what you're doing. But
yeah.
It's the same as, I mean, I'm a devotee of speed figures. However, I wouldn't just back the horse who got the top speed figures. That's absurd because there's a million things.
Exactly, yeah.
For example, I mean, he's going to be up against Morning Assembly, who's raced 3 times over fences, twice in graded races. He's going to be up against Carlingford Lock, who's had countless runs over fences. He's had 13 chase starts, Carlingford Lock. And I guess some people say, oh, he's exposed. But you want exposed.
Mm.
Look at Lyrian Legend and Lord Windermere last year. Look at Boston's Angel. They're hardly household names, are they?
You could argue if Boston Bob had had more racing, may not have fallen.
Exactly. You know? This is the thing. It's all these experiences. The horses all down at Punchestown's, Time for Rupert, Long Run even.
Mm.
Relative inexperience has beat all these horses. And Ballycasey has relative inexperience. So I think Carlingford Lock and Morning Assembly, I think they are the two Irish horses.
Okay.
But I think that was a good race. I think it was a good race.
Yes.
So I think it'll work out definitely, but not necessarily in the way that everyone expects it to.
Okay. Next up, the penultimate question on this Monday jury. What do you make of Last Installment's prospects in the Gold Cup? Very, very impressive yesterday.
He was, but he won't win a Gold Cup.
No,
I just can't see him winning a Gold Cup. I mean, for a start, the form is, you can pick holes. From last to second, we've got Roy DeMay, who's nowhere near good enough.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Lord Windermere and Lyrian Legend, who since the RSA, again, the RSA is such a unique race since then, they've done nothing. And that experience has probably put paid to their best. That is their peak, I think, to an extent. Texas Jack, who we know exactly how good he is, and he was given a great ride to win on his penultimate start by Paul Carberry, but there's only so often that those things work. First Lieutenant is still, he's now 3 from 18 over fences, and the only time he's won over anything approaching 3 miles was on good ground at Aintree.
Mm-hmm.
And Tidal Bay is a 13-year-old who was coming off the back of a third run, placing third in a handicap. So he's not, but he's not. I mean, you know, Bobsworthy, Sylvie Narco Conti's done more.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, we've got Bobsworth 2-1 for the Gold Cup, Sylvie Narco Conti 7-2, Cucard 7-1, last instalment 10s, 14s yeah. or bigger than the rest. I mean,
even Cucard's done more. And
exactly. You compare last instalment, who last instalment beat yesterday, compared to who he's got to come up against, and you just think, well, that's a whole other mountain to climb.
However,
but he did do it very well.
He's now a triple Grade One winner over fences, and he's won 5 out of 6 times over fences. The only time he's been beaten was when he was coming off his comeback run, and Brian Cooper was clearly
nursing him.
Well, he was saying, look, this is what we're going to get back into, but today ain't the day, which is understandable, perfectly understandable, after you've been off the track for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just the fact that he can... If he's going to win a Gold Cup, it's this year. I mean, because he's going to go into this now in peak form. He's come off the back of a break. He's had one run to ease him back in. He's had one run where he's gone, I'm back, here I am. I don't think he'll win, and I don't think the form is any good.
But you can't knock yesterday's performance.
Yeah, and you can't truly tell how good he is.
Yeah.
Again, out of all the horses in that field, he's the one. He might get done because of a lack of experience, but then he might win because he's got that improvement left, and the others don't necessarily have it.
Okay.
I don't think he'll win, and I don't think the form's very good. But it was a very impressive ride and performance.
Okay. Final question. What else caught your eye over the weekend?
The only other thing was a horse called Never Enough Time, who won the handicap hurdle before the Hennessy. And he won it just twiddling his thumbs.
The one with Gerfox on board.
Yeah.
Travelling beautifully.
Oh, he got a double on the day. He gave Luthnacer a very similar ride and... in the earlier handicap hurdle. But he beat Blacklock, who'd come out of a very strong race behind Gil Gamboa, and travelled all over the rest of the field, Blacklock. And I was watching the race, and I was thinking, God, he's going well. And then I looked behind, and I was like, God, he's going even better.
Yeah.
And once kicked on, bang, he was gone. But that was off 130 with £7 off his back. When the handicapper puts him up, he'll be perfect county hurdle weight.
Mm-hmm. And one in the style of how you often see county hurdle winners.
Yes, yeah.
Travelling well and quickening up as well.
Yeah.
So
Never Enough Time, if he goes to the county, we'll have a massive chance, I think.
Okay, can I just throw one at you here, Ross?
You can throw as many as you like.
Dermot Weld had a bumper winner yesterday in Vigil.
He did.
Very, very impressive. Now, afterwards, I believe that he said that the horse probably won't be going to Cheltenham or Punchestown because they have better candidates.
Okay.
Now
he's got Windsor Park and Silver Concord.
I just think the way that Vigil won against what could be a pretty smart field, I think. There was a first time out Willie Mullins horse owned by the Manniers.
Well, Volvalian, who finished third, was beaten out of sight by Silver Concord.
So it's just sort of, I think he's got a very, very strong hand, and whichever one he selects for the respective races would have to go close, I think. But Vigil is one I'd keep an eye on. I just don't think he's going to send it there, but certainly for next season. Okay, right, we'll move on to 3 contests at Southall on Tuesday. Did we say we'd start with the 2 o'clock here, Ross? Is that right?
We did, yeah. That's right, yeah.
Okay, first up is the 2 o'clock. It is, if you just give me 5 seconds, there we go, it is a maiden over a mile, Class 5 event with 8 runners going to post. Not particularly strong this, Ross, but...
No, not really, no. You're looking desperately for an angle there. Do you want me to...
I was looking for an angle.
Don't worry about the angles. I'll just give you the angles. It's fine.
Go on, then.
It's going to be a 2-horse race, I think. Mark Johnson's Monlicht, who is bred to love this surface and obviously represents a decent stable. $120,000 this horse costs, so starting off at Southall, you'd expect it to be half decent.
Mm.
I still think it's potentially worth taking him on. He might pack up by 20 lengths, you never know. But Play to the Whistle needs mile after his 2 runs on this surface. He just got hugely outpaced in 2 runs. And he stayed on strongly to suggest in a mile would be in the offing. He's probably a sort of 65 horse, really. So Mondlik should be, in theory, better in time. But hopefully, eight runners, I'm hoping they go crazy for Mondlik. Mm-hmm. And play to the whistle sort of 3-1, 4-1, and you can put them all your each-way doubles and play spots and whatnot. Yeah.
Certainly the solid horse.
I've just been waiting for him to step up to a mile. And he's drawn out in seven, so he'll be out of the kickback. And like I said, he does need some rousting along. So
pretty desperate race. Apart from those two, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Mm. Okay, then. Next up, the 3.05. Handicap over 7 furlongs. 8 runners once again going to post. Hopefully we'll keep all of those. Class 3 contests. Not a bad race here, Ross.
Yeah, they've had a lot of good handicaps at Sutherland recently, and this is another one. Joe Ellis is a fascinating contender for John Quinn. First start for the new yard. Obviously a regular over in Ireland for Joe Lyons. Apostle represents a stable in great form. Not sure about him on the surface, though. I wouldn't necessarily have him down as a subtle horse. Hannah's Turn stepping up in trip, loves this track. Nabega's been running in some good races as well. But it's got to be Frontier Fighter, who absolutely loves this track. Spent all his racing down the inside when he won in January over a mile as well. But he's got a great record. And Dubai Hills narrowly beat him over this course and distance back in December. That form was by far the best piece of Southern form on offer by a wide, wide margin. He's only £2 above his last winning mark. Simple as. I think he'll win.
Okay, lovely. Final race that we'll look at is the 4.10. 7 furlongs the trip for this handicap. 10 runners down to go to post. Logical place to start here would be Nick the Odds Ross.
Yeah, who beat Play to the Whistle and then went on to win a seller at Wolverhampton by 7 lengths, never even close to getting beat. He should go close again, but he's drawn in one. He's going to be stuck down the inside again. Sky Ranger's an interesting handicap debutante, and also Romantic Bliss, who was well enough beaten behind El Duke the other day, but could be of interest on this first start. But and morning, Mr. Norris, who landed a touchy last year. But I like Black Geronimo, who's starting life for Roy Bowring first time here. He was with David Evans. First start on the surface back in November. He bolted up, absolutely murdered a admittedly relatively weak claiming field. But the figure was very strong for a poor subtle race. And he's gone to Roy Bowring. He's been bought by Kay Nichols as well. Ken Nichols, I think it is, who has a lot of horses, West End Lads, Makias, that run on this surface. Roy Bowring's also in really good form. And again, I'm hoping that after being off the track for a while and joining a new yard, people underrate him. But I think Black Geronimo could be some value.
Okay. Value pick there in the 4.10 is Black Geronimo. Lovely stuff, Ross. Thank you very much for your time. Lovely chatting to you. And we'll catch up soon.
Bye.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.